possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we love you, Lord, with all that lays within us, our body, our soul, our spirit. Father, we just ask that you would be with us, your presence might be with us this morning. Be with us, Lord, for we worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray, Father, that you would open up your word to us, that we might understand the days and the hour in which we live. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, that we might get ourselves ready, Father, for the going home and the resurrection ministry and the going home of the saints. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to greet Brother Ramirez and Brother Isaac. And Brother Isaac, what is your wife's name? Your wife, Espusa?
My name is Isaac Ramirez. My wife is Sandra.
Sandra, God bless you. Okay. Now this morning we'll be looking at Satan's Eden again. This will be number 29 in our series. And I'm calling this the end time deception because the words Brother Branham speaks of, he gets into the deception of the hour. Now we know the end time great deception is to bring on the end time great depression. But let's begin our reading this morning and go to Brother Branham's sermon, Satan's Eden. And we will pick up at paragraph 10 and read through paragraph 12 to take our text for this morning. Now, let us look now, Brother Brown says, now, let us look now to this great, for a few minutes, this great sinful day that we're living in now. I don't believe there was ever a day that I've read ever in history. There's been a greater day of persecution when the children of God was put to death on every hand. But to see the deceitfulness of the enemy, we've never had a day like this that we're now living. It's the most cunning and deceitful day. And when I see that, it brings this, that the Christian has to be more on his toes today than he ever was in any age. Now, back in the days of the persecution of Rome to the church, a Christian would make a mistake. He went into the arena, he was fed to the lions or something like that, when they found him being a Christian for his testimony. But his soul was saved because he was a purely unadulterated believer in God, and he gladly sealed his testimony with his blood as his veins were let loose, or the holes in his body and the blood would bleed out, and he would scream up with a real loyal faith and say, "Receive my spirit, Lord Jesus." But now the cunningness of the devil, he makes the people believe that they are Christians when they're not. There's the thing. You don't have to seal your... It's more cunning day than it would be when you had to seal your life away with your testimony. The devil has every cunning trap that he can. He's a deceiver. And Jesus told us in Matthew 24, now this day would be, that we're living in, the most deceitful day that ever lived. So close it would deceive the very elected if it was possible for him to deceive. Okay, so Brother Branham is referring to what Jesus warned us concerning the time of his parousia. That's his appearing before the coming. And one of the signs that will... that will let you know that Christ is here will be that it will be the most deceitful of all times. Now, most of you would think, well, if this is the hour that Christ himself has come down in his fullness, then would not this be the most enlightened age? Would not this be the age when we would have so much truth that it would be impossible to be deceived? And to answer that, let's just first read for ourselves what Jesus said, because I also want to take a look at the 84 signs and events associated with the parousia of Christ, of what Paul, Peter, James, and John mentioned concerning the parousia of Christ. In 23 scriptures, that word parousia was used by Jesus first, then Paul, then Peter, James, and John. And in those 23 verses, they listed 84 signs and events that would show that Christ is here among us. Now, some of those would be also, and what we're going to look at today, is just the deception. That's part of this great time that we're living in. And then we'll look at only those that deal with those signs and events that refer to the deception in this last hour. Now, of those 84 signs and events of his presence, 79 have already taken place. There's only 5 left. those have to do with the resurrection and catching away. So this morning our subject will be the end time deception, and go right to the scriptures where we read throughout the study. Now Matthew 24:21, and then shall be a great, which mega tribulation. The word Greek word is mega, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Now this great tribulation is from the Greek word megas, meaning extremely great, and this speaks of a tribulation that is on its road, but of which the elect will be taken out before it begins. Before it begins to be considered a great tribulation. In other words, it goes from a squeeze. It's just like when you're choked. You know, somebody chokes you. The very first minute their hands are on your neck, you can feel it, but it doesn't hurt. But the more pressure and pressure and pressure and pressure and pressure, the more they squeeze down, it becomes a choke. It becomes a squeeze. All right. So we have to go through the squeeze before we go through the tribulation. Because the final part of that squeeze, of course, is death. Now, the word tribulation means pressure, affliction, anguish, persecution, trouble, or tribulation. So you can substitute any of those words, and you're talking about the same thing. All of these speak more of a force by a government or governments than they show from a supernatural source. In other words, God is not the author of the tribulation. It's man-made. All right? Just look at each of these definitions. Pressure. So that shows some entity is using their power to force a people, pressure a people into some action. Affliction. God does not afflict men. Men afflict men. Anguish. Well, this speaks of a sorrow as a result of some sort of trouble. Persecution. God does not persecute, men persecute men. Trouble. Now, this could be in a supernatural being bringing on a trouble upon a people, like calling for locusts and things like that. But this trouble is in the sense from the pressure, anguish and affliction and persecution that is brought on man by man. Or brought on to man by man. Now, the historical record shows that all of these attributes are what governments have done to mankind. You know, if we put up a list of all the different nations that have killed off their people, you know, you look at the, you know, in Vietnam, and you look at Cambodia, and you look at, you know, Hungary, and you look at all these nations where Russia, you know, all these nations that the government comes in and they just purge themselves of the people. All right. They purge the people of, yeah, Poland too, of all the people that they don't consider in their class, okay? So that's all men doing it to men. That's what the great tribulation that's coming on is going to be, men doing it to men. It's not God bringing it on. It's the people's unbelief that brings it on. Those who have suppressed their own people. So this is not something God places upon men. Men do it to men. And God just forewarned us what they will do. Therefore, this opens my mind to see that the tribulation period is something that is not God doing it, but God allowing it. There's a big difference. In other words, as Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2, he who now letteth will let. Thus, the tribulation period is not something ordained by God, but rather man ordained against man, and God has simply warned us that it's coming. You know, that brings us back to what Brother Bram said in his sermon preparation. He said, I believe that the people are in the preparation of the last great destruction that we'll ever know. I believe we're at the end time. You could speak to people, you could put a Billy Graham in every city in the United States, and they drink whiskey and smoke cigarettes and laugh at you, and everything else just the same. They are in the spirit of the last days. And God cannot send destruction. Now listen here. God cannot send destruction before the people are in the spirit for destruction. God never did destroy anything. Man always destroys himself. Well, you say, well, what about the great flood? Didn't God do that? Nope. God didn't do that. Brother Bram said in Christianity versus Paganism, he said they had an atomic war and a tilt of the earth, and by the tilt of the earth it caused, you know, your warm and hot heat and condensation, all that to happen. Everything got out of kilter. And it caused the destruction, caused the flood. Now you might ask, well then, Why do we have blessings and cursings in Deuteronomy 28? Well, the answer is simple. God says, if you live the way that I tell you to live, you will be blessed. You'll live a blessed life. But if you go against what I taught you how to live, you will bring only cursing and vexation of spirit upon yourself. So it's not God cursing. It's not God blessing. It's you're blessed because you're living the way he said, if you live this way, you're going to be blessed. But if you live this way, you're going to be cursed. You bring it upon yourself. The alcoholic brings upon himself his alcoholism. The thief brings upon himself his imprisonment. You reap what you sow, period. But with God, his path is a way of escape for us. And he warns us of things to come. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will show you things to come. Sometimes those things are blessings and sometimes those things are cursings. But God, the Spirit of truth, his Holy Spirit, will show you things to come. And he shows you through quickening your spirit to his word. Look at the very next verse that Jesus warns us of those days. Verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. My Dr. Malone, who invented the mRNA procedure, has said mRNA is a permanent thing, and you cannot undo what is being done. Which means we are seeing the end of humanity as God had created it. So Jesus' words, he says, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, and for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. You see, people used to think, oh, there's going to be something happening, or plagues are coming. God's going to put these plagues on the people, and this and that. God don't put plagues on people. The people put them on themselves. Brother Bram even told us that when the plagues came in Egypt, he said the scientists created those plagues. Egypt, but they couldn't stop them. God prevented those plagues from going into Egypt. But, you know, we want to blame God for all the destruction and everything else. The devil's the destroyer. So we can expect an escalation of what has been started to continue until almost all of the world population is infected with this germ warfare. I've been preaching since 1997 that this germ warfare is coming. Now we're in it. God does not send plagues. Man creates them. And God just lets it happen as punishment for rejecting his saving grace. All right, 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall rise false Christs and false prophets. Now, the very fact that they're called false Christs shows deception involved right there. Taking a true anointing, but rejecting true word. So they accept a false message, which is an organizational message. They do this in order to promote the delusion of stepping aside from God's word, his truth, in order to accept their organizational traditions and precepts. And shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So it's all about deception. Jesus, the end time, all about deception. Everywhere you look, there's deception in government, deception in economy, deception in education, deception in churches, there's deception in governments. It's just all the way down. Deception in the food you eat. It looks better, but it's poisoned. It's filled with all kinds of stuff. The air you breathe, it's poison. They're poisoning the air every day. The water you drink, it's poison. They put fluoride in it. Everything's a deception in this hour. As Brother Bram said in the opening statement, he said, this is the greatest time of deception the world has ever known. And so Jesus said, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. So they use the correct anointing of God, but they put forth a false understanding of God's word, God's truth. And a truth perverted is a lie. Even if it's 99% true, it's still a lie. It's death. Behold, I have told you so, he says. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chamber, believe it not. Now notice, he says, if they say, he is here or he's there, believe it not. And the reason you are not to believe it is because it's false. It's a lie. But that is what what many tried to do when God told Brother Bram to go west to the desert, and there God would meet with him. So then there arose up certain people, and they said, everybody's got to move to Tucson. You've got to be where Brother Branham's at, or you're not going to go in the rapture. And Brother Branham said, when they say that, Jesus said, when they say that, believe it not. You see? And Brother Branham in Questions and Answers in 1964, many questions and answers. In August 23rd, August 30th, people had the same question. Brother Branham, do we have to go to Tucson in order to make the rapture? And he said, no. He said, if you do that, you make me a false prophet. Because Jesus said that's where the false prophets would be. So, then we had certain persons, like I said, trying to pressure others into moving out west to Tucson, and they say the rapture will take place where Brother Branham is. So they were, in essence, saying you had to be where Brother Branham was in order to be where Christ is. And Jesus said, when they say that, don't believe it. Jesus also said, they will say, behold, he's in the secret chamber. He said, believe it not. And we know the word secret chamber in the Greek, it means a storehouse, which is where the food is stored. He said, if they say you got to go to this certain place, this certain city, and to this certain storehouse to get your food, believe it not. Believe it not. So we see these things taking place right where the Word of God is among His people. So I hope you all understand what it means, and you have taken the warning because it comes directly from Jesus Himself. Jesus told us what our response should be when we hear that. He said, believe it not. Why? Because that is a part of the great deception. God is in His Word, and His Word is universal. This message is not in one city. It's not in one church. It's universal. It's not located in one place. As Jesus tells us next, for as the lightning cometh out of the east, it shines all the way to the west, so shall also the parousia, the presence of the Son of Man, be. Now, in the days of Joseph in Egypt, they had to come to one storehouse to get the bread of life. But Jesus warned us, it will not be so at the end time. It will be a universal presence, a universal shout. God Himself is the one who came down with a shout, a message. God Himself does all three things during His descent and His parousia. So we're looking at a universal rapture and a universal resurrection. Last week I showed you specific quotes from our prophet, letting you know that the resurrection and rapture will be performed by God, and we are just to relax and live a good Christian life, looking forward to what God said He promised to do. The Lord Himself does all three in His descent. The Apostle Paul told us, for the Lord Himself shall descend with a message, a resurrection, and a catching away. God does all three. Brother Branham brought that out in the rapture tape. The shout is the message, the voice is the resurrection, and the trump is the catching away. And then we know, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And since He is the Word, our gathering is to His Word and His message. So our gathering is unto Him, and He's the Word. And it will be universal all over the world. And Jesus illustrates this by showing activity on both sides of the world, daytime and nighttime. Excuse me. Seems like awful dry in here. But the main thing is, He tells us that we must be living our lives in preparation for what is going to happen and be ready when it does begin. But know this, verse 43, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known, had been aware of what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? What's due season mean? Meat for the hour. It's not going back 50, 60, 70 years ago and saying, well, you know what? The prophet did this, the prophet did this, the prophet did this. We have the Word, present tense. You know, when Brother Branham saw Malachi 4, Revelation 10, Luke 17, 30, he had to step into that Word for that Word to become manifest. And when we see in the Bible, it says the sons of God are to manifest the sons of God. When it says that we will be adopted, you know, there's in Ephesians 1, 3 to 5, the adoption of children. When Paul says in Romans 8, that we'll be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, you've got to step into that in order for that to happen. You see? So, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So Brother Branham continues in Satan's Eden. He says, now, let us compare some scriptures or prophecies spoken of in the Bible for today, and compare it with the day that we're living in now. In 2 Timothy 3, we learned that the prophet said that it would come to pass in these days that men would be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, compare that now just for a moment. We'll just brief it because we haven't that much time to go through it all like we should do, duly take it, but just to highlight it so that you can see when you get home and study it. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and despisers of those that are good. Now the Spirit spoke expressly that these things would be in the latter days. That's these days, the prophecy you're speaking of. Now, we read also in Revelation 3 and 14, the Laodicean church age, that how the church would be in the last days. And it would be, it said, she was set as a widow and have need of nothing. It was rich, increased in goods, and know not that they were poor, miserable, wretched, blind, and naked, and didn't know it. Now remember, he's speaking to the church of this age. They're wretched, and they're blind, and they're naked, and don't know it. Now that's the church. That's not the world out there. They're gone. That's the church. The last phase, that last word, is what makes it so striking. They think that they are well filled with the Spirit, and they're already. Therefore, during Christ's parousia, he is here to save the elect from deception. And he does it by revealing his truth to us, and by having his truth, we know that everything outside of that truth is a lie. For we are told by God in his word, let every man's word be a lie and mine be true, saith the Lord. Therefore, with a thorough examination of Matthew 24, we shall see that at the end time is to be marked by deception on every hand. We see it in Matthew 24 all the way through. So this morning we're just going to cover Matthew 24 and just show you a lot of scripture showing end time deception. Matthew 24, 3 to 5, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy parousia and of the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. That's the first sign he tells them. A lot of deception. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. I am anointed, and shall deceive many. So Jesus tells us one of the signposts of his parousia will be that it will also be a time of great deception. Then in Matthew 24, verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. So the deception comes through the false teaching of the false prophets. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24, 24. For there shall arise false Christs, false anointed ones, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you so. Now you say, just a minute. It says they're false, and yet they're anointed. Yeah, that's true. If you listen to Brother Bram's sermon, The Anointed Ones of the End Time, he explains to us, they have the anointing, the genuine Holy Ghost upon their flesh, but it's not in their soul. Therefore, they're not quickened to the Word. And so they look at certain portions of the Word, like I can say, almost any Jew, he knows sowing and reaping. It's a promise of God. You sow, you're going to reap. Sow, reap, sow, reap. So there's no wonder that they're reaping because they're sowing. Mark 16. You know, they shall lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. So a man gets anointed in the flesh. He looks to the Word. The Word is a promise. He shall lay hands on the sick. And you see all the denominations laying hands on the sick. They're getting results. And they say, see, we got results, but they're false to the Word. The deception then is in the fact that they are doing there's a true anointing upon them, but their words, what they're teaching, is false. And the people themselves are blind, miserable, and naked. They don't know it. People are just church people. They come to church. They go home from church. They live their life. As it was in the days of Noah, they ate, they drank, they married, they gave in marriage. All the activities of life, and they weren't aware of what was going on in that ark. And that there's a preparation for going home. You see? So, the great deception then is that God allows them the same rain that falls on the just, the same rain falls on the unjust. And in Deuteronomy 32, God says, My doctrine shall fall as the rain. And so the word of God falls upon the just, falls upon the unjust. The people are blessed by the rain of God. They're anointed by the anointing of God, and yet they're living a false life and they're preaching a false life, a false word. Now notice that the very fact that they're called false Christ is in itself a sign to us of something that is going on but cannot be trusted. How can you trust a false Christ, a false anointed? You look at the anointing, if that's all you're looking at, and you're not listening to what they're telling you, you're going to be deceived. You see? He tells us it is false, yet it is anointed. When I hear that first thought, my first thought goes back to the book of Isaiah, where God said of Satan that he was God's anointed cherub. Yeah? Satan was anointed cherub. And yet, what did he do? He led people to worship himself and not to God. And God said to him, God said, I made you so. So God anointed him, yet he is a false witness to God. Then Jesus warns us that the intent of these false anointed ones is to deceive. And that ought to tell you that this is a time of great deception, and these men will arise with no purpose, with one purpose, excuse me, and that is to turn you from truth to error. That's why in Mark 13, 5 to 6, Jesus answering said to them, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. All right, I am anointed, and they will deceive many. Okay. So the object then is for these false ones to get you to see that they are anointed ones. And they point to the anointing. Yet they are false to the word. And the people see the anointing, think, well, God would not anoint the person if he were not in the truth. How many have ever thought that? Well, why is God blessing them? David said, you know, if you look at their latter end, it's going to be bad. So, yet that is the whole purpose of the anointing. It is used to deceive. That is why we have so many people that use a part of the truth that William Branham taught us while denying other parts of what he said. You look at most of those people that left the message. They're still using part of what they learned in the message, and they're still teaching parts, but then they're denying other parts. They call William Branham a false prophet, yet they will use truths that you will only find in his ministry. Just shows the insanity, if you ask me. They do not understand vindication. If they understood vindication, they would just shut up and listen to a vindicated prophet and know what he's saying is true. And yet God warned us they would be ordained to this condemnation. Jude 1 and 4. For there are certain men crept in unaware. Notice they crept in unawares. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. They're ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the word deny means to say no to. Oh, I disagree with him here, but, you know, I'll take this over here, but I disagree with that. That's saying no to. That's denying. Ephesians 1:17-18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Notice the very purpose of God sending the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the angel of the Lord coming down, the seal being broken, the mysteries being revealed, is for one purpose, so you won't be deceived. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Again, deception. Who's doing it? These false fivefold. There's a true fivefold ministry, and there's a false fivefold ministry. And they lie in wait to deceive. Now, God tells us here that they will lie in wait to deceive. But people think, oh, no, no, no. Who would do that? Well, let me tell you, sister, the Bible says that they would do it, and they are doing it, so it's time that you wise up. Oh, they're going to destroy the earth, and they're going to do this and that. Oh, no, no, no. Who would do that? Who would make a vaccine that would kill people? I mean, no, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. The Bible said they would do it. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So the blind, they're blind, Laodicea, blind in their heart, and through that ignorance, it separates them from God. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. All right. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-12. And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, pillar of fire, at the presence of Christ, all right, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those, it says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction, notice, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So they're separated from his presence, his word, because he is the word, and the glory, the doxa, of his power, when he shall come to be endoxed, glorified, endoxed, meaning envy in, doxa meaning the opinions, values, and judgments of God, and zoe meaning in our life. So at the time when the word of God, the glory, the opinions of God, the values of God, the judgment of God are becoming part of our life, and we're wrapped up in his presence, as Brother Brown said, we are laying in the presence of the sun to ripen. What are they doing? They're not laying in the presence of the sun. They're actually separating themselves from the presence of God and from God's word. And he says, in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So notice the deception. On the one hand, God is filling us with his glory, his doxa, his opinions, his values, his judgment. On the other hand, they're separating themselves from God's opinion, his value, his judgment. Separation. Deception. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. That you should not be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, they have to be there in order to fall away from there. Is that right? So he's not talking about denomination. He's talking about those that are in the word for the hour. They have to be there to fall away. What caused them to fall away? The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4, 1 Timothy 1, 3, it says that doctrines of devils, spirit, demonic influences, spirits. But let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin, the man of unbelief, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Remember ye not when I was with you that I told you these things? So the great deception again is, we got the man on the throne, so-called. Has anybody ever seen pictures of the new Vatican? Yeah. You see, it looks like a snake. It looks like serpents. Everything about it is serpents. You got serpents in the whole building, shaped like a serpent, the big eyes. Look at it from the outside. It's the head of a serpent. The whole thing is about serpent religion. Exactly. And he sits on that throne thinking he's sitting as God. verse 6 to 12. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. We went over that last week, showing that the one who's withholding is actually those that are holding down the truth. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth, God letting it happen, will let until he, God, be taken out of the midst of humanity. God takes us up in a rapture. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his parousia. Even him whose parousia is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. There's two parousias. You know, when Brother Branham was out in Arizona, up in the mountains, and the pillar of fire came down, and brothers said that they were at a gas station many miles away, and they saw that white cloud going up and down, like that. They also saw a black cloud going up and down. You know, so when there was the cloud, that cloud there that was seen at sunset over Sunset Mountain, that cloud was 26 miles across, and they didn't know where it came from, but they knew it was going in this direction. They don't know when it ended. But the very morning that this cloud appeared, another cloud appeared, which was the result of a missile going off. You had twins, always, gemellos, always. And every, Brother Branham said, every revival produces twins. God and Satan. So you had that cloud, and you had another cloud that was the result of a missile that was exploded. And so that other cloud has caused people to say, oh, see, the cloud is wrong, it's blah, 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 blah. You know, it was made by man. Listen, there's two of them. Those two clouds, that cloud and the other cloud. And the other cloud only lasted about 4 hours. This cloud went on for the whole day, and it just, you know, slowly went across, or well, not so slowly, 100 miles an hour, but went across Arizona toward Mexico. Okay? Two parousias. Two war, every war has two sides. Michael fought against Lucifer. They brought the battle down to earth. What's going on right now? There's a fight between the truth and Satan's kingdom. This is Satan's Eden, Brother Brown said. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, unright wiseness. That's what unrighteousness means, unright wiseness. Righteousness means right wiseness. And with all deceivableness of unrightwiseness, in other words, a false word, and then they perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned, and believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrightwiseness, which means they took pleasure in a wrong understanding. 2 John 8 to 10. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses, that means goes beyond the limits, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, echoes not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. That's what that, we in the English it's written hath, but the Greek word is echoes. So if they transgress, go beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ, they won't echo God, who said, this is my beloved Son. And they certainly won't echo the Son of God, who said that God was his Father. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now, 1 John 2, 18 to 23, little children, in the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Now, Antichrist, as Brother Brown said, is not communism. He said they're Antichrist, but not this. Anti is so close to the real, like they say the Pope is the vicar of Christ in the place of the Son of God. It is the last time, and as you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists. Wherefore you know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So the people that were among us in this message, using the same words that you use, and now they've left, they've gone out. John said, well, it's evident that they weren't of us, or they would have stayed with us. But they left, showing that they weren't of us. In other words, they were imposters, make-believers. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not, echoes not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son echoes the Father also. 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in him. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. His proving. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth right wiseness is born of him. Luke 21:8. And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So the deceivers are also deceived themselves. That's why they can be so sincere. Revelation 13:4-10. And they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, that's 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Now the word blaspheme is blasphema, and it means to speak evil against. Alright? And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear to hear, let him understand. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. But here is the patience and faith of the saints. All right, verse 14-16. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which we know the beast is Rome, and the image to the beast is the world council of churches, which had the wound and the sword that did live. And had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And it causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. So how does he do that? Through his deception. Oh, you must have this or you're going to die. That's what they're telling people now. You got to take this thing or you're going to die. No, you take it and you will die. Revelation 19:20, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his name. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So they're going to get their end. Hallelujah. You know, we've got lawyers rising up today in Germany and all over in America. They're going to sue the big pharma. They're going to sue this and that. And they think they're going to get it this side of the resurrection. They're not going to get it this side of the resurrection. Just like you're not going to have the outcome, the true outcome of the vote, you never see it rectified. How many people have been in office for 50 years that were voted in by a crooked vote?
Matthew 13:1-17. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came up and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they were withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Whosoever hath ears to hear, let him hear. Remember, Brother Rand taught us, to hear means to understand. Who has ears to understand, let him understand. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever echoes to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever echoes not from him shall be taken away, even that which he thinks he has. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing, they see not. Hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, their understanding, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. And remember, eyes are the prophets. The prophet is the eye. And their eyes they have closed, their eyes to the prophet. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. In Mark 11 and 12, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. Remember last week we showed part of the deception is, Brother Bram said, I have to speak the word in such a way as it will go over the heads of some. Some it will cause them to wonder and to wander, and some to, you know, to be, you know, just, and they just won't get it. He said, that's purposely done. Jesus tells us. They said, why do you speak in parables? He said, because it's given for you to know, but it's not given for them to know. All right. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Luke 8 and 10, and he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might see, not see, and hearing they might not understand. Again, it's all a time of deception. 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's why they depart. They give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. See, they're using logic instead of vindication. Once you understand vindication, you understand there's one prophet that God backed up. He's got a word that's vindicated. But speaking lies and hypocrisy, having the conscience seared with a hot iron. Again, 2 Timothy 3, 1-9. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of such a sort are they that which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist. In other words, they resist the truth by saying no to it. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. 2 Timothy 4, 3-4. Now listen, all I'm doing here is I'm reading you scriptures showing at the end time it's all about deception. And I'm giving you hundreds of scriptures this morning so that you will understand it's scriptural. The end time is the predominant attribute of the end time is deception. All right? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fable. What is a fable? It's just a story that's told, and so they go along with that. 2 Timothy 4 and 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of right wiseness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now notice, God allows this deception of Satan to go unchecked in the world until God leaves the midst of humanity, taking the saints up with him. In closing, and then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his parousia, even him whose parousia is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, lots of scripture today. We thank you, Father, that we see throughout your scripture in many places that Paul warned us, that Jesus warned us, that John warned us, Peter warned us, James and James warned us. Father, they all warned us, Lord, that the end time would be a time of deception, and we are here.
And Father, we just ask that you would be with us as we depart, and may we enjoy the time in fellowship and the breaking of bread between service, and then come back at 4 o'clock for our communion service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now this evening I have a short message, and it's going to be on the six ways that man displeases the Word, all falling into the same thoughts of this end time deception. So God bless you. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon thee.